I mean, come on. Change your cleats, Norton. The hell are you doing out there?
Hey, Bucks fans, podcast coming right up. Just a heads up that we recorded this just before I got the news that Levante David will be out at least 4 weeks, which includes opening round of the playoffs. Horrible, horrible news. So we get into David a little bit in the podcast, but that's without that knowledge that popped late this afternoon. Our thanks to Big Storm Beer, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast, Florida's Elite Restoration. Your first phone call when you have any disaster in your home, Florida's ElitRestoration.com. And Bill Curry Ford makes it all possible. Here's Ira. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Buccaneers fans, the division is not locked up, but we'll be talking about that and a whole lot more on the Ira Kaufman podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford. This is the time to shop for a vehicle. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan is there. He is ready for you. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. The Ira Kaufman discount is yours. BillCurryFord.com is where you start shopping immediately. Never has your vehicle been worth more, your used vehicle, your trade-in, than it is right now. So here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira. Sage, 9-0, Saints win. Ridiculous. Lee DeCamper is here of Joe Bucks fan. I'm Steve Isbitz. We all have plenty to say. There's a lot going on. Ira, I'm going to clear the floor for you and ask you really what happened there now that you can reflect on it. An aberration, just a voodoo hex. What the hell's going on here, Ira? A strange game, a lot to celebrate from the defense, a lot to cry about from the offense, and of course, the seventh consecutive loss to the Saints in the regular season. The Bucs haven't beaten them since Ryan Fitzpatrick went wild on a Sunday on opening day. What's going on?
I'm still not over it, guys. I mean, I'm not over it. First, I want to do a shout-out to Derek Brooks. Last week, we pick Buck games every week. He picked the Saints. He picked the Saints to win that game. He didn't pick 9-0, but he picked the Saints, and of the four Buck losses, Brooks has hit on three of them. I believe the only one he missed was the Washington football team. So that tells you right away that Mr. Brooks has a tremendous pulse on this local football team, but nobody could have predicted that. Steve, you hate to waste a great defensive performance. New Orleans did nothing. I mean, he threw a couple of balls up to grabs for DeCalloway in the first quarter. They gained 53 yards, Lee, in the second half. 53. Taysom Hill can't throw the ball, Lee. You've been saying it all year. He can't throw. As usual, they clamped down on Kamara. No factor. Lee, special teams, as I'm sorry to say, as usual, not very good. Not very good. Can I get a punt return out of Jalen Darden where he's not slipping and sliding after 3 yards? I mean, come on. Change your cleats, Darden. The hell are you doing out there? Another missed field goal. Pinion was lousy. That doesn't help. But, of course, the biggest problem was on offense. Brady, not very good. He looks skittish. I mean, are they the only team that's got Cam Jordan and Davenport? I mean, four sacks, he got hit. Terrible night for the offensive line. And you're not going to like this, DeCamper, but I'll lead it right into you. And Brooks, by the way, agrees with me. Lee, if you can't throw the ball, run the ball. If you're averaging 5.5 yards a carry, run the football. How come I know that and the offensive coordinator does not? What's going on, Lee?
Is that what they averaged?
Yes, they did.
Okay, well, also, and I say this with fans as well. I don't know what Leftwich was seeing. And I'm not being derogatory when I say that. I generally don't rag a lot on play calling, because I don't know what the coaches are seeing. I don't know what they're seeing up above. I don't know what they're seeing from the field. I don't know what they're seeing. If they're seeing that passes were available, how can I say not to do that? So I gotta caution myself on that. Playoff Lenny was starting to do better in the second half than he got hurt. Rojo's, who knows? Keyshawn Vaughn shouldn't be on the roster. Jalen Darden shouldn't be on the roster. And there's no other way to put it. It was a disaster for the offense Sunday night. There's no other way to put it. No way to sugarcoat it. And I know this bristles Steve, and I don't mean to bristle Steve. I'm being very honest and sincere when I say this. It sure has the stench that the Saints broke the Bucks, and that was a team Sunday night that looked like a one-and-done team in the playoffs. As great as the defense played, and they played awesome, you aren't going to be anybody if you can't score.
You know, feel free to rile me up. I love that, Lee. I love it at all times. You know, fire you. I don't care. I don't care. Call me an a-hole if you want. I'll say this. Regarding running the football, Ira, if you take away Ronald Jones' huge 30-yard run, take that away. He had 7 carries for 33 yards. That's 5 yards a carry. 4.7 or whatever it is. So, I mean, he was effective and extremely effective. And they went away from it. I'm not really quite sure why. And as far as the Saints winning with a 4-man pass rush, that's what it comes down to. If you can rush Brady, and it's no secret. See, Lee, that's why I say broke the Bucs or cracked a code or something. There's never been any secret. If you can rush Brady and you can use 4 men to do it, he's not going to pick you apart. He's going to get rattled, and he's got issues, and he doesn't want to get hit. That's what the Rams continue to do to the Bucs. Over the last 2 times they played them, they can get to him with 4 men. He gets rattled. He gets hit. It's an issue. Somehow the Saints did it, and just a horrible day for the offensive line on that front because Cam Jordan, it's not like he's got an 18-sack season, Ira. He's not Robert Woods with 16 sacks in 13 games. I mean, Robert Quinn. So it's just kind of like they're kryptonite. I don't know. But there's a problem with the offense in this scenario, because it just shouldn't have been so bad. Even with the injuries, I mean, 0 points is 0 points. The Saints defense, in the same way that, Cameron Jordan doesn't have a 20 sack season, the Saints defense hasn't been that good for a lot of teams this year. Just hasn't been very good. They held the Jets to 9 points, but that doesn't count. So it's just disturbing, Ira.
Lee, I thought the Saints secondary was fantastic. Every pass virtually was contested. There was one pretty long pass to Godwin down the sideline where he got between, the safety and the linebacker where he was open and Brady hit him. But, Lee, aside from that ball, there was always a Saint defender in the area within arm's reach. They played very aggressively. They challenged the officials to throw the flags, which they didn't. And that only, reinforced what the Saints secondary was doing. Jenkins did an excellent job on Gronkowski. Excellent. I thought Sean Murphy Bunting did an excellent job on Kamara on coverage. He was locked on by Kamara. He did an excellent job. Brady looked rattled, Lee. He looked rattled. Now, let's not get ahead of ourselves, gentlemen. I mean, they could hit Carolina for a 38 spot. Nobody would be shocked in Charlotte. They still lead the league in scoring, guys. It was one forgettable night. I don't believe it's going to be a pattern, even with the injuries. Here comes Antonio Brown. That will help big time. Gronk's not going to have another night like that. The O-line will bounce back. But I'm not making any excuses. Steve, you made a good point. Before the injuries, they weren't doing anything either. So I can't pin it all on Fournette, Evans, and Godwin. The Saints did a great job. The Bucks did a terrible job.
Hey, when I say broke the Bucks, I guess I need to clarify. It's not just the pass rush. It includes the injuries. Godwin goes down. Evans goes down. Fournette goes down. We know about Godwin. We don't know about Evans yet. We're hopeful. We don't know about Fournette yet. We're hopeful. And we honestly don't know anything about Lavonte David, but I don't factor that in because, we're talking about the offense here. That's what I refer to broke the Bucks. And Ira mentioned it about, Godwin getting separation. Godwin is so good at contested ball. So good. Well, that's gone. Maybe for good. We don't know. And that's why I'm talking about breaking the Bucks. I guess I really mean break, like a broken lamp or broken coffee cup. I'm talking about the injuries as well. I'm talking about Alex Kappa getting exposed. It was a complete and total disaster.
You're right, Lee. Kappa had a terrible night. Steve, I'll say this. I don't want to be a doctor here, but as far as hamstrings, the Fournette and Evans, guys, tell me if you agree. At this point, it's all about January, and I don't think it's the race for number one seed any longer. I think that is the second priority. It's a long shot now. You got to realize that. So what I'm saying, Lee, very specifically, you got to shut down Fournette and Evans for a couple of weeks. If you want to play them the final game, fine, in a limited capacity. You got to shut these guys down, Lee. You cannot mess around with hamstrings. I don't care if it's mild. I got to have these guys for January, Lee, and that race for the number one seed be damned. I'm resting those guys.
Wait a minute, yeah. Sage. Wait a minute. You can't start resting guys. You got to win the next game. Then you can rest some guys and make some strategic decisions. But if Mike Evans is available, if he thinks he can, I'm not 100%, but you know, the doctors say he can go, you need him on the field at least as a decoy, at least to try to open things up for some other receivers. You can't mess around by resting guys if they're ready to go. I can't rest anybody until they clinch. Now, I think they'll clinch. I think they can win games without those guys, but you got to get the first one first, then put them on ice if you want, Ira.
His bits, if they can't beat the Panthers, who have won two games since September without Mike Evans, then the Bucs are in more trouble than we think. Lee, you got to sit the guy. You can't take a risk with Mike Evans.
It's dicey. I lean toward your talk, Ira, but you know what? He's only 101 yards short of that record that he covets. I'd sure be tempted to spread him out next few games. Not playing the whole game, but I see both sides here. Wasn't for that damn record, I'd say shut him down for the season. But that record, gosh darn.
Not a bad point, Lee. Not a bad point.
I'd say go for the record. He only needs 101 yards. Spread him out. Let him get 30 yards a game, 40 yards a game. I'm torn. Of course, people will scream at me, you're not playing for a record, you're playing for the Super Bowl. Well, Evans, he's very close about that record. It's very dear to him. And even Brady has talked about that. I see both sides here, but that record is the looming factor.
We don't have that factor, Steve, going with Fournette. You got to shut Fournette down. I trust Ronald Jones, Steve. I trust Ronald Jones. Why not? He can carry the load for a couple of games.
Great. You bring up a great point, Ira. That word. I thought of this earlier when you guys were talking about why Ronald Jones wasn't getting a rock. Had the Bucs lost trust in the guy? Notice how they pulled him off the field and gave it to Keyshawn Vaughn and threw to Keyshawn Vaughn. And Arians was saying, well, he can't block, referring to Rojo. Yeah, that Keyshawn Vaughn was on the field for pass protection. And we know that Rojo struggles with catching the ball, even though he did catch one Sunday. Is that the key element why they didn't lean on Jones, that they don't trust him? And, you know, seeing how he ducks out of bounds again instead of fighting for a first down. The coaches just, you know, throwing their hands up in frustration that we worked with this guy for 3 years and he still needs work. Is it boiled down to that one word, trust?
Well, maybe you got a point. Steve, is Keyshawn Vaughn known as a staunch pass protector? I mean, isn't that a stretch?
Well, they can only go by what they see in practice. And look, Rojo can't pass block. And they've given up on his hands. So I'll say, to answer Lee's question, yeah, I think they don't trust him to catch the ball, and they don't trust him to pass block. And that trust comes from Tom Brady, who has said, let's go get Giovanni Bernard because Rojo's going to get me killed. So I think it's part of that, I really do. It doesn't mean that Rojo can't get in there, carry the ball 20 times, and carry the mail like a top running back. I think they trust him to do that in this game coming up.
That's what I'm saying, Steve. Give him the ball 20 times, and then you're right. As a receiver or a pass protector, go elsewhere. But give him the ball.
Yeah, I mean, they can stay late and work on it all week long. I mean, they can get a little bit of a connection if he's got the whole practice week as the number one guy to just catch a couple of checkdowns and figure that out a little bit better. But it's not like he's a rookie or a young player. And the guy's a fourth-year guy. He's played a lot. I'm not worried about Jones for one game anyway. It's not like he's a fumbler or something like that. So But Ira, let's talk a little bit about the bigger picture. And I'm not just talking about Bill Curry Ford, where you can get amazing deals. And that's the big picture over there. This is the time to buy. Family owned, 61 years. Don't mess around with some other big corporate dealership or something. They are a giant in the community. GM Sean Sullivan's ready for you 24/7 to help you personally and give you that Ira Kaufman discount on top of their great pricing already for the end of the year. But Sage, a couple of things. On these resting guys, I'm too nervous, Ira, because the Panthers can do one thing. They can't do much, but they can rush the passer. In an interview earlier this year, Tristan Wirfs was asked to name the two pass rushers or a couple of pass rushers who give him the most trouble and why. And he detailed his answer as Cameron Jordan and Brian Burns of the Panthers. They have those pass rushers. So I'm a little bit concerned about starting to rest receivers and the Bucs relying so heavily on the pass like they do. I don't know. And we really don't know. It's going to be overlooked all week long, Ira. We don't know if Antonio Brown is healthy. The guy hasn't played in 2 months. He's got an ankle. He's got a bone spur around the ankle. He's getting better. He's not getting better. Nobody's talked about him for 3 weeks other than other, off the field stuff. We don't know football Antonio Brown, how ready he really is to go. Arian said maybe we can get 30 snaps out of him. Well, that's not even half a game. So I don't know. If Mike Evans can play, man, I don't know. I'm scared, Ira.
Well, Steve, you're building a compelling case, and Lee, you might not want to hear this, Lee, but Isbitz is building a compelling case to run the ball half the snaps, which the Bucs don't do. They run it on a third of the snaps, and that's number one. Two, Steve, you put a big smile on the face of Sean Sullivan, general manager of Bill Curry Ford, because he loves Brian Burns, and he loved him coming out of college. I believe he went to Florida State, showed a lot of prowess as a pass rusher. And he's a darn good pass rusher as a pro. But I got faith in Donovan Smith and Tristan Wirfs. By the way, I watched Wirfs, and I watched some replays, and Wirfs did not play a bad game. He got beat by Jordan once. Jordan overpowered him. I was very shocked at that. Great move by Jordan. But Lee, Jordan's other sack was an inside move. He spun around Kappa like a top. And that one's not on Wirfs. So I'm not worried about Wirfs. Donovan Smith's fine. I think Brady will get time to throw the football. I don't think Carolina's secondary is as good as New Orleans. Given the state of Carolina's offense, no McCaffrey. They got DJ Moore, but they got nobody to throw him the ball. Lee, I think 20 points. I think 20 points is going to win the game for the Bucs.
Wow. Same defense comes to play. I agree with you.
Lee, you said a couple of weeks ago, I forgot the game that you were talking about, but you said, it shapes up as maybe it's kind of a run-the-football game. I think this might be a run-the-football game, Lee.
Yeah, I'm not anti-run. I'm pro your talent. If you got the talent to run, absolutely run. If you got the talent to throw, absolutely throw. You get the ball in your best player's hands, good things happen. I'm going to go a little bit off course here, Ira. But this is stinking Panthers related and Bucks related since the Bucks are playing them. I think it's 50-50 at best, Matt Rhule returns. Because I don't think, based on what you've told me, I don't think David Tepper, their owner, is a patient man. And look how they cratered this year. And by the way, Rhule has gone through two starting quarterbacks in 2 years.
Steve, in a way, that 3-0 start really screwed Rhule. Because it raised Tepper's expectations and the home crowd. Who the heck's the quarterback in Carolina going forward? And Lee, you're right. Tepper's not a patient man. One of the richest owners in the NFL, and that's saying something. And he doesn't like what he's seeing in Charlotte. Certainly Cam Newton is not the answer. So you're going to see a lousy Carolina offense on Sunday and hopefully a lot better Buck offense.
Look. The Panthers stink. They were 3-0. Now they're 5-9. It's bad. It's getting worse. And I mean, it's unthinkable to think of the Bucs losing. But Ira, the loss that is rippling through everybody, a lot of people still can't wrap their head around it, is Chris Godwin done with an ACL tear, which means when that swelling goes down, maybe in a week, 2 weeks, whatever it is, he's going to have surgery. And they'd be lucky if he's back by September, and who knows exactly what kind of shape he would be in at that time. So where do the Bucks stand, you think, with their next move regarding Chris Godwin and what's important, what's not important? Tom Brady talked about him last night on his podcast, you know, just the emotional shot to the team because Godwin is such a hard worker and such an integral part of everything and such a professional. They have to get past that. It's not just losing the player on the field. Where do you think the Bucks stand in the future with Chris Godwin?
You know, Lee, it sounds kind of crass to talk about a guy who's about to have season-ending knee surgery and talk about him in terms of free agent market value. But this is a football show, Lee. That's what we do. And we wish him the best in terms of a speedy recovery. We know this is not a three-month injury. And I look at it a little bit differently than some of the guys that have weighed in on this that say, well, this certainly marks the end of Godwin's career in Tampa. I don't see it that way, Lee. I see it quite the opposite. It severely impacts his attractiveness on the free agent market. I mean, who can deny that? You don't know when the guy's going to be back. He's probably going to miss training camp at the very least. So you're a team out there that's interested in Godwin. You know how good he is when he's healthy, but you don't know if he's going to be healthy or when he's going to be healthy. Lee, that's got to affect what kind of offers he gets as a free agent. And I think that enhances Tampa Bay's chances to keep Chris Godwin. We shall see. I don't know that they're going to franchise him. I think you pay a penalty, Lee. So I don't see that. I don't see that. If I'm betting, Lee, I think Godwin is going to be a Buck in 2022, and Brady's going to have a big voice in that. Unfortunately, his market value has gone down dramatically.
You're sort of in the same line I'm thinking, Ira. I don't know about dramatically, but you're along the same lines I'm thinking. And real quick, you know, you're talking about Tom Brady wants Godwin. There's someone else who has equal, if not more so, pull in the Bucs organization, and I think his name is Bruce Arians. Bruce Arians loves him. I honestly think the Bucs were going to let Godwin go if Tyler Johnson would have improved this year, like they thought he would have. Back to what your point, I wrote this morning. This may sound cold and it may sound disgusting, but this injury may aid the Bucs in retaining Chris Godwin. Yesterday, Albert Breer wrote a story, Sports Illustrated, where he basically said Godwin's gone. He said, and he used a couple of examples of players, including Allen Robinson with the Bears, that blew out their ACLs in their contract year, and yet they were able to get big money on the market. Mike Florio, our friend at Pro Football Talk, I was listening to his podcast yesterday. He was doing it with Shereen Williams, and Shereen said, well, the Bucks are going to do this right. They're going to sign Godwin to a multi-year extension. And Florio like, whoa, hold up. You know, this is business. This isn't emotion. And Florio right. basically said, no one's going to throw money at Godwin, which is not what Breer wrote. Florio said, no one's going to throw money at Godwin. And the only contract Godwin's going to get is there's going to be an out after the first year if it looks like he won't be the same receiver. Every team that's going to try to sign him, they're going to want to cover themselves. So Florio was saying he's going to have an out after the first year. But I agree with you, Ira. His injury, as cold as it sounds, and the NFL at the end of the day is a cold business. This will aid in the Bucs' attempt to retain Godwin.
Sage, a few factors. One, the Bucs have the benefit of seeing how his surgery goes. So
yes.
He's under contract with the Bucs until early March. So they're going to get to see right. how does it go? How's their early rehab going? They'll have all that information to work with. A little research, Ira. I know you love research. You're the sage. Jordy Nelson of Packers fame blew his knee out. The year he came back, led the NFL in touchdowns, caught 97 footballs. Keenan Allen, a guy who's often compared to Chris Godwin in certain ways, and especially similar age and you know similar prowess, he blew his knee out as well when he was 24, has come back better than he was before the injury. And there are other players in the history of the NFL at that position who have come back extremely strong. So it's a tough call for the Bucs. I think everybody assumes that Godwin will sign with somebody. Godwin has the option of saying, you know what, Maybe I just want to rehab on my own. And then when I'm healthy, I'll go showcase myself for a prove a deal with a contender and set myself up for 2023 and beyond. I mean, he's not under any obligation to sign early if he thinks he can make more money by having his own workout in October to show everybody that he's 100% and then sign a multi-year deal. Because in theory, the Bucks could sign Godwin if he looks 100% healthy in September. They could sign him to pay him $3 million in 2022 and pay him $30 million in 2023 and just kick the can down the road if he's already fully back, rehabbing on his own. So it's a very unique situation.
If you're Godwin and you're going to bet on yourself and you're going to stay with a contender and prove your worth, who better than a guy who threw you 100 passes in 16 games, 15 games?
You know, you guys are making some great points. Excellent research, Steve. Now, of course, Steve, to be fair, there are receivers that have had this injury and came back and they weren't the same player.
Absolutely.
To be fair. But you gave some great examples, Steve. I really don't know where Albert Breer's coming from, Lee. I know you have a lot of respect for him as an NFL journalist. I think he's on poor footing here, saying that this injury accelerates Godwin's exit from one Buck place. I don't see it that way.
He didn't say accelerates, but he thinks Godwin's gone. He thinks that there's still going to be a big market for Godwin.
And there's one other factor, guys, that we, to be fair, we have to mention it, and it could be a big one. We don't know absolutely that Brady wants to play in 2022. We don't know that.
True.
We think he does. Lee, that could be a big factor.
Oh, monster factor. If Kyle Trask is all of a sudden your quarterback, I don't think Godwin's coming back.
And I think another X factor, guys, is, okay, Chris Godwin, if he's coming back, he may be like, well, I want to come back to the Bucs. I love the Bucs. I love Tom, all that stuff. But I don't want to block anymore. Because a lot of receivers aren't called on to block anywhere near the way Godwin is. And that's a big part of his role on this team. I don't know. I think that has to be at least a consideration, what they ask him to do.
That would diminish his value, Lee, if he would state that publicly, you know, in negotiations. As far as the Bucks are concerned, that would diminish his value. There's no question about it.
Well, I see where you're coming from, Ira, but not everybody runs Bruce Arians' offense.
Right, with the Bucks. With the Bucks at
night. Exactly.
The Bucks
Yeah. Don't mess around. You got mold, you got flood, you've got water damage, storm damage, fire. You call Florida's Elite Restoration. That's it. You just do it. 24/7. Their website has all the information, floridaseliterestoration.com. And if you're a business owner, let's say you're a plumber and you're not working with a company that handles customers when they have floods, or you're a property manager, call them. Call owner Josh Martin immediately and find out how their service works, how they're honest, how they help people, how they're there for you in your time of need. Josh will be happy to buy you lunch and tell you about how his company can work with you when you have that situation. Don't hesitate. They're awesome. Florida's Elite Restoration. Ira, I know you're living in Publix these holiday times, buying extra food. So I'm sure you've been bonding with Josh regularly as you buy Big Storm beer there.
You know, Steve, the number one reason that we vouch unequivocally for Florida's Elite Restoration is we know people that have dealt directly with the company. Not hearsay, not some promo that's written by an employee of Florida's Elite Restoration. people that have used this company and can't say enough about the satisfaction from the experience. That is what goes a long way for the three of us. Unlike a lot of people that you see on television that hawk products that they've never used or don't know anything about, we know these people. We have talked to these people, and they don't have any reason intrinsically to talk up Florida's Elite Restoration. They're not getting paid by them. They're not paid spokesmen. And when they say, hey, I've used these people two or three times, they've come to my home, they are fantastic, they'll get the job done, they're honest. That goes a long way, so that's why we're proud to represent Florida's Elite Restoration.
Exactly. Yep. Crazy times, Ira. Look, of these injuries, tell me if I'm crazy, Ira. You got to tell me if I'm nuts Perhaps I've been drinking too much Bromosa, the Tangerine IPA from Big Storm Brewery. And you're going to be out there, Ira, day after Christmas, Sunday, the 26th. The Sage is going to be at Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater, outdoors, enjoying the beautiful weather, covered patio, watching the Bucks feasting, because, of course, he won't eat much on Christmas Day. You know how hungry Ira's going to be at 1 o'clock on Sunday. But BigStormBrewery.com, load up all the fantastic Big Storm beers. Check them all out, BigStormBrewery.com. They're in Publix. They're at the tap rooms. Just try it. I mean, be a hero this holiday season, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing. Bring Big Storm beer. You're going to stand out, especially if it's with that Bromosa, their top seller, and so many great Big Storm beers. Ira, call me crazy. Guys, maybe I'm crazy, but my greatest concern of all these injuries is Levante David. Because he was just coming through. He had a Pro Bowl caliber game before he got hurt, whatever his foot injury is. I thought he was a huge difference maker in the defense, looking like the championship defense of last year. You know, he hasn't been 100%. And I thought, damn, the guy got healthy. And now we don't know. If I had to pick one guy, I think they could live without one of these offensive weapons. But I don't know how well that defense is going to would perform through the playoffs without David.
Lee, I thought he was the best defensive player on the field in a Buck uniform on Sunday night. I thought Levante David had a hell of a game. A lot of times he was the last line of defense, whether it was a run or a catch, those few catches they had. David was always around the football. He had a sack. He had a forced fumble. He had 10 or 11 stops. I thought he played great. I'm with Steve a little bit on this one. I think he's kind of irreplaceable. Devin White plays better when he's in the lineup. When he's not, there's too much pressure on Devin White, too much responsibility. They may not need him necessarily against the Panthers, Lee, but they're certainly going to need him in the postseason, healthy. And, Lee, let's not throw around 100%, Lee. That's crazy. Nobody is 100% at this stage of the season. Nobody.
Yeah.
So it's a question of can you play through you know, your hurts. By the way, guys, I'll drop this on. I did the podcast with Mr. Brooks today, and I asked him about the Godwin injury and the hit that caused the injury. And I'll say this right now, guys. Derek Brooks, who bleeds Bucks just as much as anybody we know, has no problem. He thought it was legal. You can't go up high. What are you supposed to do? And Brooks had no problem with it.
Brooks summed up exactly what I was thinking. And I know I got a couple of people hacked off on Twitter at me. And I'm the same way. I mean, by saying we didn't have a problem with the hit doesn't mean we're sick to death over Chris Cotton.
Right.
Football is a collision sport. You're not going to be able to take injuries away from it. Just like you can't take wrecks out of NASCAR. It's a collision sport. And like Brooks said, you're not supposed to go high. So if you can't go low, if people whine about the missed tackling now, if people whine about the flags now, holy cow, if you ban hitting low and hitting high, it's going to be a flag fest. And you might have to change the NFL rules that you need 15 yards for first down and not 10 yards. I mean, it will be atrocious. And, you know, I just remember in high school, I had a coach who played for some of the greatest coaches football's ever seen. Guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, guys that are in the College Football Hall of Fame. And we were taught, lower the better, lower the better. Now, of course, that's gone by the wayside because people are so hung up about, you know, turnovers. And that's one reason why guys don't wrap up. And that's one reason why there's so many missed tackles. But that's just fundamental football. And if you take, you know, low hits away as you've done high hits, holy cow, Ira, there's going to be missed tackles all over the place. And it's going to be a flag fest. It'd be crazy. And I am so in line with Brooks about that. And that's an intelligent man like him. I'm glad to hear that.
And Steve, you know, Buck fans, sometimes they get cynical, Steve. They get really cynical. It's unfortunate. I mean, Steve, are we really going to think that the guy tried to deliberately injure Chris Godwin on that play? I mean, come on.
Yes, it's the Saints, Ira. That's what they do. They try to deliberately injure people. I think it's a fine hit. I don't have a problem with the hit, but did he try to injure him? I wouldn't bet against that at all.
See, I'm with Steve on that. If you go to a defensive player day before a game, hey, do you want to take out the quarterback, will you? Hell yeah. Hey, if you want to take out their best running back, give him a broken rib, hell yeah. I agree with that. But was he purposely trying to blow out his knee? I can't go there.
I'm thinking back to you in Brooklyn Christmas morning, and you're drilling guys into the fire hydrants, playing touch football. You know, it's just the way it is, Ira.
We used to play right along the Belt Parkway, Stevie. You remember the Belt Parkway. And we had a little six-man football, eight-man football. Never played tackle football. Can you imagine me, Lee, trying to run up the middle against Bubba over there and Jose? That's a bad image.
I've seen you go through people for fries. So, yeah, I could see you doing that.
I'm especially laughing because I was going to say the same thing. Lee beat me to it. All right, now, Ira, some important things here. Important things. A couple of topics, then we'll get the hell out of here. Sage, right now, they are the number three seed based on the tiebreakers. Dallas is ahead of them at 10-4 because there's a three-way tie at 10-4 with Arizona. Head-to-head doesn't matter, so they go to the conference record. That's how it sits. But the Bucks still have that potentially very valuable head-to-head tiebreaker with the Cowboys if it comes to that. But more of my concern, Ira, is, and for the sake of this, we're going to assume the Bucks win one of their last three and win the division. I don't think that's much of a stretch. So right now it looks like they'll either play, if they're the two or three seed, they'll either play the Niners, the Vikings, or the Saints. Right now the Saints are on the outside looking in because they lose the tiebreaker. So the 49ers sit at number six, but the 49ers still have to go to the Titans, go to the Rams, and then they have the Texans. So they very well could go 1-2, finish 9-8. The Vikings are 7-7, but they have the Rams at home coming up, which is a huge game. Then they go to the Packers, who they already beat, and then they've got the Bears. And the Saints host the Dolphins, host the Panthers, and at the Falcons. That's the easiest schedule, but I hate to say it, the Saints suck when they're not playing the Bucks. So I don't know. How do you think it shakes out, and who do you want to play, Ira, in that first round at the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway?
This is a no-brainer, Isbits. This is a no-brainer. This is like saying that Isbits would turn down a date with Kay Adams. I mean, this is a no-brainer. Lee, let's be honest. They don't want to see New Orleans. I mean, is that rocket science? For whatever reason, and now you can't even blame Sean Payton because he didn't do the in-game calls, personnel, whatever. The Saints got their number. And it ain't like the Bucks blew them out in the playoff game either. I still say that game, I know the final score. But midway through the third quarter, I thought the Saints were going to win that game. So I don't want to play the Saints on the Bucks. I mean, let's be honest. Forget about this revenge thing. I mean, they could have wanted revenge Sunday night from losing the first game against the Saints. No, they get shut out 9-0. Lee, they've lost 47-3 the last two meetings in Tampa. I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. 47-3. Who do I want to play? I want to play Minnesota.
Yep.
I don't trust them. Cousins has had a good season. He stunk last night. They got Dalvin Cook. Yeah. Yeah, it is 100 against the Bucks, but the Bucks beat him last year. Minnesota's defense, very average. Very average. I want to play Minnesota. The 49ers, I got right in the middle between Minnesota and New Orleans. Jimmy G, you know, he's got a good career record, Lee. You can't just discard that. He's got a good record as an NFL starter, but I don't trust him in a big-time playoff game. They don't have a lot of weapons besides Kittle. Kittle's fantastic. They got this Swiss Army knife, Debo Samuel. But, Lee, I don't want to play the Saints, and I want to play the Vikings.
I'm with you. No Saints whatsoever. Vikings. I was watching that game last night with the Bears. If I remember correctly, the Vikings have played in 8 straight one-score games.
Yeah, something like
Mike,
that.
Mike Zimmer always has a way to play in close games. And I'm not saying that as a homage to Mike Zimmer. It's almost like he has a drag on his offense. Like you can't get a 10, you can't get a 2-score lead. You got to keep it close, offense. You know, I don't know what that is. And when it comes to the Saints, I'm just going to say this. Howard, I know there's a lot of people listening to your podcast, Ira. If anyone in the NFL offices are listening, please send word to Howard Katz. They are never, ever to schedule the Bucs hosting the Saints on Sunday Night Football again. Please, please, for the love of humanity, in the name of Brad Johnson, do not schedule the Saints at the Bucs on Sunday Night Football again. Please, no one outside of Louisiana wants to see that again.
Amen.
Minnesota doesn't scare me one bit, Steve. Not one bit.
I'm being genuine here, Ira. I would pick the Saints. Call me crazy, but in the playoffs, I will go.
Crazy.
I will go with the worst quarterback. Let me face the worst quarterback. True. Because that's the guy with the least chances of winning a playoff game when a quarterback has to step up and make a play. And I would trust the Bucs to beat Taysom Hill. I don't care about the voodoo hex. That guy sucks.
I've been saying for years that guy's nothing more than a wing T quarterback. And I don't know what Sean Payton sees in him, but I'm sure Taysom Hill's family's very happy.
And a quick interesting Taysom Hill nugget, Ira, because again, you love research. I always come with my encyclopedia for you here at the podcast. Taysom Hill, his last three games against Dallas, 11 rushes, 101 yards. Against the Jets, 11 rushes, 73 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Against the Bucs, 11 rushes, 33 yards.
Hey, by the way, you're talking about rushes and Taysom Hill? I got to bring this up. You know, we talked about Joe Tryon, and we talked about how, at least in my eyes, the reason he doesn't play is they don't trust him on the run. Tryon made an awesome open field tackle on Taysom Hill to bring him down on third down. If Joe Tryon continues to play like that, this may be JPP's last year with the Bucs. That was an excellent play by Tryon. And if he needs to make more plays like that, he will see more playing time if he makes more plays like that.
Strong point, Lee. That was a tremendous play. And Steve, I'll say this also about Tryon. You can't help but notice the guy on these pass rush situations. If he's not getting to the guy, he's getting close. He's close. And he's got more moves than I thought he had coming out of college, because a lot of these edge rushers, Lee, I've said it before, they got one move, the Gaines Adams thing, and it doesn't work. Lee, they steer you right around the outside. This guy, he's an athlete. He's flexible. He's got some moves. I really think he could be a big-time pass rusher by as early as next season.
Yeah, outside of the occasional and too often loaf, the guy plays with his hair on fire, and he often overruns stuff. Sometimes he looks like a cartoon. He basically kind of missed another sack the other Sunday night, just sort of overrunning. But he's an incredible talent. They just have to harness it, and I'm sure they'll coach him up extremely well, and he'll learn. Yeah. They all say that he's totally dialed in mentally and all that. Sage, last one for the podcast here. Last one. Byron Leftwich, it's a common theme out there among Bucs fans. Leftwich has a lot of haters, and a lot of people are saying, hey, after one game, that performance by Leftwich, that hurts, maybe implodes his stock as a head coach candidate. I know owners can look at one game and say, I want that guy. So I think there are some owners who would say, I watched one game and I don't want that guy. But I think those are also the bad owners who would make a decision based on one game. I don't know. What are your thoughts, Ira?
Well, there's a couple ways to look at it. Lee, first of all, they are leading the league in scoring. You can't get around that. They got Brady. They got weapons. But they're number one in scoring. That's what we care about. Points on the board. They score touchdowns, Lee, Sunday notwithstanding. They score touchdowns. Brian Suckup has not been a busy man this year. And the way he's kicking, I'm happy with that, Lee. Let him take a rest on the bench. Lee, as far as Leftwich, some people would say, well, you can't blame him. Brady's, you know, in charge. He can make all these calls and change the plays. Lee, you either take Arians at his word or you don't. And Arians has been telling us for 3 years, Leftwich is in charge of this offense. Either he is or he isn't. And so you give him the credit for, you know, scoring 33 points or whatever, and then they get a bagel, and you're not going to give him an excuse. I'm not. He's in charge, crafting the game plan, Lee, and just as importantly, making in-game adjustments. And I didn't think he did worth a darn worth of adjustments as that game went on. He didn't. Some of those calls, Lee, third and one, long pass to Darden. Darden? Darden down the sideline? He had no chance to get that ball. None.
No.
Deep to Gronkowski. Gronk didn't have it Sunday night. Should have known that. Third and one, hand off to Vaughn. Got no push. I mean, Brady's the best in the business, Lee. He's the best in the business at the quarterback sneak.
Yeah.
He knows what he's doing. And I don't know if Brady, could have maybe overruled Leftwich or whatever. But, Lee, if he's in charge, he's in charge. And he just drew a blank. And like I said in the column, Lee, don't bring this game tape to Jacksonville when you interview.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example, Ira. And I'm a little surprised you didn't bring this up. Give you a perfect example how judging one important game might not be stupid. I can't remember the year, but it was Chiefs versus Titans. With that, we've been laughing about Taysom Hill. Well, I felt the same way all along about that gimmick quarterback, Marcus Mariota. He was nothing more than a runaround quarterback. Great athlete, couldn't throw the ball. And I argued that when he was in college. I argued that when he was in the draft. And I argue that now. Nagy dropped a deuce in that playoff game at midfield. The week prior, the Bears had already hired him. I think there's more than a few Bears fans that would have said, had the Bears waited one game, they would have dodged a bullet.
I hear you. Steve, he might get the job. I got to think he wants that job. They got a quarterback. I got to think Leftwich feels he can work with Lawrence, even though Lawrence didn't dazzle anybody as a rookie. And, Steve, he'll go in with low expectations. That always helps. You know, you go 7-10 with the 2022 Jaguars, and it's like, oh, geez, Leftwich did a hell of a job.
Sort of like 2012 Schiano?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I was thinking about that. Schiano went 7-9. Did a nice job with the Bucs and then fell apart year two. We know what happened. So, Lee, I think that's a job that Leftwich wants, and I don't think that Leftwich is going to be a serious candidate for a half a dozen vacancies. I think that's a stretch. Given his ties to Jacksonville, I think that's the job he's got his eyes on. We shall see. I wouldn't judge him just by one game, Lee, but he's got plenty to prove to me down the stretch.
Ira, I'll agree with you on the overarching point, which is if you're going to knock the guy, then you got to give him credit at the same time. Either he's responsible or he's not. And I think a lot of fans lose that perspective a little bit. It's like, if you're going to blast him for, oh, what a crap show, this guy sucks, well, then that means he was also in charge in the games when they were dominant and in the playoffs last year. I think Leftwich, legitimately, Ira, I think he'll be a candidate probably for every job. I'm not saying he's going to get every job or he'll end up being the best guy, but when you look at his success in the playoffs, I think that's going to resonate a lot for a lot of owners who are wondering, hey, can this guy handle it? If we get to the Super Bowl, I'm not sure Matt Rhule can handle it, and a lot of other necessarily coaches out there.
And Steve, I don't know if it matters. Maybe it does to some owners, maybe, but Lee, I think you'd agree. He's got to sharpen his skills as a public speaker. You are now the face of the franchise. You're talking to the media 4 or 5 times a week, not once for 10 minutes. And if you're going to be a pain in the ass, you got to be Bill Belichick. Then nobody cares. but Lee, if you go 4-13 and you're a lousy communicator, that's a bad combination.
Maybe it's because of what we do for a living that we're very hypersensitive to that. I do know that Belichick was not considered for jobs in the NFL after his Browns days for that very reason. I can't remember what book I wrote, but Robert Kraft was saying there were several owners that they watched his press conferences at the Browns, and they came to the conclusion, I can't have this guy representing my team.
Wow.
And sure. And that's the greatest coach that ever lived, we're talking about. So I don't know how times have changed. I think, you know, I'll say it again, we may be hypersensitive to that because we deal with that firsthand, where a lot of fans, they could care less about that. They don't give a hoot about that. Belichick may have broke the ceiling on that. Like, a rotten image doesn't matter as long as you win.
Steve, to be fair, Leftwich doesn't come off as arrogant like Belichick does, like he's the smartest guy in the room. So, you know, it's not a fair comparison, but he's just he's just dull and doesn't give you anything. And like Lee says, I'm not sure too many fans care about that.
He comes across as a nice guy. He never answers a question. And when you have a direct question, and I can speak with experience, when I have direct questions for him, he'll either completely ignore you, give you a one-word answer, or like he did the other day when I asked him about Jacksonville, he walked away. And he just speaks in platitudes. But I remember one time I asked him about running up the middle on first down. I had stats to back me up, and I asked him, do you think you're tipping off the defenses? He glared at me. He's like, no.
Well, that's a great word, Lee. Yeah, platitude.
Well, that's
beautiful
an
word, Lee.
Well, that's an example of a direct answer, Lee.
yeah, some answer.
I'll say this, and we'll get out of here. You know, Byron Leftwich, behind the scenes, we don't know what he would be like. We also don't know, you know, sometimes guys, obviously, they change or they know they're the top dog as head coach. You don't know how he's going to speak as a head coach versus as a coordinator. And Todd Bowles doesn't say much either. He says a hair more than Leftwich, but Bowles is pretty dry and boring as hell, company line too. And he was like that as a head coach, but he's a big personality away from the podium. So I'm not sure how it matters, but it should be something that an ownership group would flush out in an interview, because if you're boring and dull and you got no answers or whatever, and that's a great way to get fans to dislike you, and then that'll get you fired faster.
You know what? Bowles has always answered my questions. He's dry, no doubt about it. And I like Todd. Don't get me wrong. He's a good guy. And like you said, we know that away from a microphone, he's like a gregarious personality. He's laughing, likes to have a good time. Every once in a while, you'll see that. Every once in a while, you'll see that at a press conference. But he's always answered my questions. His response would come across to me as logical. He didn't try to dodge it. I'll give you another example, Leftwich was talking about how Kyle Trask is so involved in the quarterback room, and he's engaged. And I asked Leftwich for a couple examples. He wouldn't give them to me. Why'd you even bring it up?
You know, Steve, Todd Bowles is kind of like you. Get him away from the microphone. He's a cool dude, baby.
All right. Thank you, Ira, I suppose. We'll see you next time.